God, and so is there anything special you want to talk about for me to preach about tonight? Otherwise, I'll just go on. Everything, you understand everything? Is it clear? Everything is clear? I must be a good teacher then. I'm a teacher that can explain everything to you that you understand? Wow. You make me feel, are you just saying that? So we thank God for you all right? Okay. The Lord is so good to us, and we appreciate this day for His mercies and for all that He has done for us. And we thank God for the healing, for deliverance, and the victory, and for bringing this church through and giving us strength. In Psalms, excuse me, in Psalms 110, in Psalms 110, that's a beautiful Psalms of David. The David was the king of Israel. He was a sweet psalmist of Israel, and he was a chosen man of God. God took him from nowhere and exalted him. Now, the Lord, I like when I read a scripture and it focuses on the Lord, and it says, the Lord said this. I want to hear what He said. I want to listen to the voice of God. I'm interested in, like this morning, He said to Jeremiah, go down to the to the potter's house. Here tonight, the Lord is still speaking. The Lord said, look at that. Then this is so important, because it's one Lord speaking to the other Lord. It's not even one Lord speaking to Jeremiah or speaking to you, but this time it goes higher. It's one Lord speaking to another Lord. Is that important? Now, if the two Lords, that's the Father and the Son, if the two Lords is speaking, then you want to hear what they're saying, right? See, Paul said, I know a man about 15 years ago. Was it 14, 15 years ago? And he was caught up unto the third heavens. And he heard things that he could not even mention them. Now, I want to hear what God has to say, don't you? Yeah. When He's talking to you, don't you want to hear? Yeah. So if I'm, no matter what I'm doing, and if I know my Lord is speaking to my Lord, I'm going to stop. There's nothing more important than to hear what one Lord is saying to another Lord. And they both said a lot to each other. Okay? So I want to find out some of the things that my Lord said unto my Lord. And what did my Lord said unto my Lord? What did your Lord said unto your Lord? Look at it. You know, sometimes we get so anxious and we got to be going all the time. But sometimes to hear the voice of God, you got to sit. Be still and know that I'm God. It's like Brother Aaron was saying that when he got that sad news, he went home, but he got his Bible. And he cried before the Lord. And that's what we need to do. Be still and know that I'm God. So my Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou where? An exalted place. Sit thou at my right hand. You said, oh, I wish I could sit that. But really, you're seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus at the right hand of God. Did you know that? Where Stephen saw him standing up there, was it? Was it on the right hand of God? See, so he said, sit thou on my right hand for how long? What, we get impatient and we want it right now. But look at what you're doing. You are in a place of rest. Christ right now tonight, after he suffered and died for you, and he went back to heaven, I wonder what he's doing tonight. He's seated at the right hand of God, making intercession for you. In other words, he's your mediator. Okay? It's like you're an attorney. So when the devil attacks you, like we heard this week, when the enemy comes in, like a flood, the Spirit of God will lift up a standard against him. And to hear the voice of God said, be still and know that I'm God. Sit and rest. There is a rest in God. And the Father said to the Son, sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. And we've got to find out that God has a lot of enemies. Jesus has a lot of enemies. That's why he died on the cross. You have a lot of enemies. You might not believe it, but you might just think that the neighbor next door is your enemy. But no, you got a lot of enemies. And we don't wrestle flesh and blood. See, the person beside you, that's not your real enemy. It's principalities and powers and rulers of the darkness of this world. In other words, the devil is your enemy. He's not your friend. Sickness is not your friend. Poverty is not your friend. The devil is not your friend. Death is not your friend. But Jesus Christ came in Hebrews. Hold your finger there, but in Hebrews chapter 2. Look at Hebrews chapter 2. And go down to verse 13, 14. Hebrews chapter 2. You can read that for me. It says, in the second chapter of Hebrews, Look at that. What verse is that? Verse 14. Well, what does verse 13 says? All right. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, I will put my trust in him. Now here, look at. Behold, I and the children. That's Jesus speaking. That's Jesus speaking. That's Jesus speaking. Say, behold, I, that's Jesus, and the children. That's include you and I. Which God had given me. How many know that God gave you to Jesus? Oh, yes. You didn't just come to Jesus. It's okay. You can testify if you want to. Some say, well, I came to Jesus. No, you did not come to Jesus. He draws you. No man comes to me unless he's drawn by the Father or by the Spirit. See? So it's the Lord that draws us. And the Solomon said, draw me. And we will run after you. So here, Jesus now, before, this is beautiful. Before you ever belong to Jesus, you first belong to God. And it's God that gave you to Jesus. And Jesus is to work the work of redemption, sanctification, justification, to do the final work in your life of development into a son of God or daughter of God. That's why we sing, or we say, it's God, it's Christ that worketh in you. Isn't it amazing that God is working in you like the potter? God inside and Christ in you, the hope of glory. The hope that we have is that Jesus is living in you tonight. Jesus Christ is in your heart. Did you know that? Jesus is in your heart. Amen. And that's the hope of glory. And where are we heading? We're heading to glory. To see the God of glory, because God is the Father of glory and he's our Father. That's why he puts his glory upon you. So he said, sit on my right hand until I make your enemies. In other words, if he says sit down here and I'll fight your battle. In other words, he's saying the battle is not yours. But the battle belongs to the Lord. In other words, you don't need to fight. Somebody said, I'm fighting a cancer. Don't fight. Let the Lord fight it for you. I'm fighting this headache. Don't fight it. Give it to the Lord. In other words, he said, cast your care upon him. Cast your burden on the Lord. But he puts us in a place of rest. And when you have rest and peace in your mind, that's your victory. Because the scripture said, let this mind be in you. What mind? The same mind that was in Christ. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ. And we have to have the mind of God. And the mind of God is the Word of God. Without the Word of God, you don't have the mind of Christ. It's through the Word. Amen. It's the Word. The Lord said to Jeremiah, cause them to hear my word. How? By preaching it. By teaching it. By telling them how good God is, how able God is. And to have a message that you can hear sit down. When problems and trials come, you have the spirit of Mary. She sat at the feet of Jesus. Amen. When Jesus comes to your home, and he should be there, what do? You don't put him out there, leave him in the living room and you're in the kitchen, like Martha. And then you're calling your sister to come on in the kitchen with me. But you have to know and recognize when the Lord shows up, that's your time of refreshing. That is your time of victory. And he said, you sit there. But we move too fast. We don't believe the Lord. Oh, I got to get somebody to help me. Something happened. Oh, I got to go and get a loan. I got to work this out myself. Not knowing if God be for us. My God, somebody help me. Who can be against us? See, what we need is a generation of faithful people that will begin to believe the word of God. Sir, I believe God. Even in the storms, Paul could say, sir, I believe God. You don't look at the waves. You don't look at what's going on. You look at the word. What he said to you. Sit down at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. Now, what is the greatest enemy that a man has? Death. Death is the greatest enemy. But did you know Jesus conquers death? And he conquered the grave? And he said, oh, death, where is your sting? Oh, grave, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin. And the strength of sin is the law, but thanks be to God. Thanks be to God who giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And Christ is seated at the right hand of God, but we are seated in Christ Jesus in heavenly places. That's how we get there, through Christ, our Messiah, our Lord. If you get the word of God, you won't be afraid. When your phone ring, when something happens, you won't be afraid because you'll be still and know that I'm God. When you have a knowledge of God, you know. Come on, you know. You know God can turn things around for you. He's a turnarounder of things. And he solves all your problems. And he fights battles. And death is an enemy. And death came into the human family or into the world by Adam. For since by man came death. But God had the answer for death. You're not listening, are you? Death came. A problem came. Since by man came death. But God had the answer. What was the answer? The resurrection. By man came death, but by Jesus came the resurrection. And when Lazarus died, Jesus said, your brother shall live again. Hallelujah. And Martha said, yeah, no, pulling her hair out. Yeah, no, he's the final, at the end of the, he'll come. Yes, yeah, no, Jesus says today, right now. I am the resurrection. What a word. When you're sitting down and you be still, God speak to you. I am the resurrection. And I'm the life. Don't you? Aren't you excited tonight that you know that you have a God who is alive? He's not a God of wood and stone, sticks, but he's a living God. And he said, because I live, you shall live also. Listen to this. Because Jesus is alive, we have life. Our life is in the Son of God. I live because of Jesus. That's why you're here. That's why you live. It's because of the Son of God. Hallelujah. Woo! Hallelujah. That's what makes you shout. A hope that you have in him. We have a hope in Jesus Christ that he's alive. And he's coming back again to establish his kingdom. And his kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. Think of it. That shall never be destroyed. You know what we're saying tonight? What the Word of God is saying? You will live forever. A million years from now. A million years from now. As long as Jesus lives and he lives forever. He said, I am he that was dead, but I'm alive forevermore. You will be alive. You see, because if in this life only we have hope, boy, we'll be most miserable. But what I'm saying from the Word of God is that, like Job chapter 19, he says, I know that my Redeemer liveth. I know. Do you know? I'm convinced. I know that my Redeemer liveth. And though after my skin, listen, though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh will I see God. That's amazing. Whom I shall see for myself. Another. Nobody's going to see him and tell me. I'm going to see him for myself. That's why we're here tonight. And what you have to do is sit in Christ. Be at home in Jesus. Be satisfied with the provision of God. What God provides for you, you're satisfied. And what God gives you, you're satisfied with what God gives you. Don't work it out for yourself, but stand still. Sit and know that God is God. How many know that you don't have to get permission from anybody to sit at the feet of Christ? How many know that you can sit tonight at the feet of Jesus? Hallelujah. In other words, you have a relationship with God more than you have with the world. Martha, brothers, sisters, cousins, nobody could remove Mary from the feet of Jesus. That's what God wants us to come to this place where none of these things move us. Nothing separates you from the love of God. You know, we've got Christians that are so shaky. Every little thing we forget God. Now, if I'm going through troubles, don't I should know at least that's not God? When Job was going through the troubles, the devil wanted him to believe that was God. And even his wife didn't understand. She said to Job, why don't you just curse God and die? And Job said, you speak like one of the foolish. Saying, shall a man receive only good and no testing? No trials? Every day you want to get up, you get a raise on the job, everything is fine, you get a new car, and you'd be spoiled. Ha! But it's true. Going through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me. God is with you in the valley. Though I walk, remember now, you're not parked there. You're not stopping there. You're just walking through troubles. You're passing on. You're passing through. And though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why not? Why not? Because thou art with me. Ha! Thy rod and thy staff, that's the word of God, they comfort me. then, even in my trouble, surely goodness. When people come against you and you're under attack, don't see defeat, see goodness. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. Remember now, it's not the cursing and the attacks of the devil that's going to follow you. That's only temporary. You're passing through that. But it's goodness and mercy that follows you all the days of your life. And I'm committed. I will dwell, not visit, but I'll dwell in the presence of God, in the house of God forever. Forever. And I'm not talking about this building. I'm not even talking about this one. But it's giving you a new house, a temple. And I will dwell in that forever. God's a good God. Once you begin to love Him, you'll see how God is good. And God wants us to break through that veil. You know, that veil of this side where, you know, you don't even know who God is. And we look for satisfaction in the world. The world doesn't satisfy you. You do it over and over and over again. It doesn't satisfy. You get a little kick, but it's over. It's gone. But I know a man. I said, I know a man tonight. His name is Jesus. Emmanuel, God with us. The lily of the valley, rose of Sharon, the bright and morning star. There's none like Him, the Alpha and the Omega. What a Savior. Can you imagine? In the fall was bad, right? The fall was terrible. But God gave us something that's out, far outpaced the fall. Amen. Amen. You focus on Adam sinning. And the fall of Adam. But what you ought to focus on, the rising of the last Adam. Let me say this very slowly. So you get it. The fall was terrible. But redemption is greater than the fall. In other words, God did not get anything out of the fall. Right? But it's redemption. Because it provides a Savior. Hallelujah. Oh yes, if you get that. Because of the fall of Adam, we have a Savior. We never had a Savior before. But before. And then He died. But what if He didn't rose from the dead? So He died. But it's the resurrection. Because Paul said, if Christ be not raised from the dead, your preaching is vain. You're still in your sins. But thanks be to God. Jesus used to sing a song, Up from the Grave He Arose. And sister was talking about the resurrection this morning, Sister Linda. The blood. Calvary. How Christ defeated the devil. Sit thou at my right hand. Till I make your enemies, the devil, your footstool. And Christ is coming back as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And He's going to lay hands on the devil and cast him into the bottomless pit. That's where Christ is, sitting down at the right hand of God. Waiting till His enemies become His footstool. And again, let me go back to Hebrews. Again, I will put my trust in Him. And again, behold, I am the children which God had given me. Verse 14. No, you need to read this. You need to read this. This is powerful. Everybody read this. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood. You look around. Touch yourself. Flesh and blood. But you won't always be like this. He also, notice what, you couldn't go to Him. We could not go to him because we were fallen and separated from God, but he came to us. He also likewise himself likewise took part of the same flesh and blood, that through death, why did he die? Here's the purpose. Underline that in your Bible, that he might destroy, not only hurt and wounded, but destroy him. Who is that him? The devil. Him, Satan, that has the power of death. He tells you, that is the devil. So God sent his son to destroy the devil. And because of this, 1 Corinthians could say, O death, calling out to death, O death, where is your sting? Come on, come on. O death, where is your victory? O grave, where is thy victory? Why could he say that? Because of the resurrection, he's alive. We have life through the Son. Jesus is alive. They used to sing a song, Jesus Alive and Well. But when you say Jesus alive, you're saying that I live to the faith of Jesus Christ. I'm trying to show you that you have life in Christ. There's life in Jesus right now for you. And don't let the devil rob you. Don't let the devil take this away from you. He says, did I finish that? Verse 14, let me go back there. It says, yes, he came to destroy him that has the power of death and the last enemy, Revelation 20, when the books are open and the dead are judged. That's the final judgment. It's called the white throne judgment. That's when the Father judges the world before we go on out into the eons of eternity. I am excited about the word. Look, the devil has fooled every one of us. And we make mistakes. Some made more than some, but it's all sin. One sin, that's all it takes. You might look down and say, oh, I didn't do what he did, but you did enough to send you to the burning or second death. We did enough. The fact that we were born in sin, that's enough. You see what happened is that, let me give you another scripture. I finished that one, 14. But let me go to Colossians chapter 1, verse 13 and verse 14 and close it. And of course, Psalms, he said, sit thou at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. And that's where he is tonight. Stephen saw him there. But in Colossians chapter 1, verse 13, 14. Put that up. Look at what he did. Colossians, verse 13. Look at what he did. That's Jesus now. What did he do for you? For every one of us. You don't understand. You say, but I was the darkness. You don't understand the Bible. The darkness is in your mind. We didn't have any knowledge about God. The fall puts a darkness, a spiritual darkness. The people that sat in darkness. It doesn't mean they were just sitting around and there's no light. No. There was no light towards God. No understanding towards God. And you're in darkness until the word of God is explained. That's what happened to the foolish virgins. They never got out of darkness. They had no light. And here in Colossians, from the master Paul, the great man of God, Paul says, who, that's Jesus, had delivered us. Notice, he came in as a conqueror, a warrior, a fighter. And he delivered us from the strong man. Deliver us from the power of darkness. And what did he do? Here's what he did. And I know you don't feel like that. You know you don't understand. We said Enoch was translated. What did he do? He walked with God, and Enoch was not because God took him. Before his translation, he walked with God, right? Now here's what you say, but oh, I wish I was like Enoch, but you're just the same like Enoch. Let me explain. You see, because the devil, we're still so not knowing a lot about God, so the devil still fooled us. You go to church and you don't hear, and the will is not read to you clearly. So the pastor is not telling you what's there for you. But you don't know all these goodies that God has for you. And you say it's later. But you've got an inheritance right now that you don't even know. Now Enoch, the seventh from Adam, Genesis, tells us walk with God, and he was not. Because God translated him. Hebrews tells you. God translated him. Right? Have you ever read that? Now here's what Paul's saying. How many believe Paul is right? But here's what Paul is saying to you. Not Enoch, but to you. That who had delivered us, all right, from the power or the kingdom of darkness. My God. Oh, you need to shout. He delivers you. So he delivers you from the power of darkness. He's got to have somewhere to put you. Because he took you out of one kingdom, he's got to put you into another kingdom. So what did he do? He delivers you from the power of darkness and had translated. I want somebody to look up that word translated. Because that's the same what he did to Enoch. He translated Enoch. When Christ came and delivered us, he delivered us from the kingdom of the devil into the kingdom of God. He translated us from one world, one kingdom, to another kingdom. Or you ought to give the Lord praise. Come on, you ought to praise the Lord for that. I said, did you get that? Are you sleeping? You said, I know he translated Enoch. Well, I know he translates you too. Because you're on the other side, but you don't know it. That's why when you miss, you get convicted. That's why when you, I am going to go to church, but you end up in church. Yes, ma'am. Well, you need to read it louder again so they hear. Did you get that? I'm even going to lend you my mic so you're speaking it. Read that.
To bear, remove, or change from one place, state, form, or appearance to another.
Did you get that? Oh, yeah, you did. You still didn't get it. You said, because I still weigh 150 pounds. But you're looking on the outward. It's the inward, what God did to you. Your mind, he translated to you from one state right now to another state. And now are we the sons of God, although it did not yet appear, right now, you're translated from the power of darkness to another state into the kingdom of light. My Jesus, help me. Lord, help me. Help us, Lord. Give us a church that can understand. That's where you are tonight. The devil is a liar. Don't let that devil lie to you and tell you all you're backslidden and you don't have no hope. Come on. God translates you. And he puts you into the kingdom of his dear son. Here's what he did. Who had delivered us from the power of darkness, that's the kingdom of darkness, and had translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. Can you say amen? Verse 14. In whom we have redemption through his blood. Redemption from the kingdom of darkness through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin. Tonight I'm free. And if the Son of God has set you free, you're free indeed. Are you free tonight? Yes, you are. Come on, shout. Yes, you're free. Yes, tonight you're free in Jesus Christ. You're not children of darkness, but we are children of the day, children of the light. We're children of God, and we are wise virgins with oil in our lamps. Amen. Give the Lord a praise. I think I've said enough. Praise.